Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come, Joel. Seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls. Shoot us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com, or hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/lockedonshybulls. And of course, that text and voicemail line is always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans. 331-979-1369 is that number. We'll get to a couple pieces of mailbag on the back end of today's episode. First things first, though, the Bulls reached the All-Star break with their sixth straight loss that ties a season high of losing streaks to fall to a season worst 17 games under 500. Yikes. That is how the Bulls enter the All-Star break, 19-36. 19-36. Good Lord. This is reality. This is not a bad dream. And blessed be Zach LaVine, who at least is giving Bulls fans something enjoyable to watch right now, put on another masterful performance in this game. Also got a solid night from Kobe White, who had 35 minutes off the bench. Would love to see more of those kind of nights for Kobe in the final 20-some games coming out of the All-Star break. Kobe didn't have a great night shooting, just 4 of 14 and 2 of 7 from downtown, but he did dish out 7 assists, grab 5 rebounds, and contributed 4 steals on the defensive end. Really nice to see that from Kobe. Nice to see him playing alongside Zach LaVine more as well. But Zach was, you know, obviously once again the biggest positive takeaway from another game where the Bulls play like shit in the third quarter and lose. They were down 21 at one point to this Washington Wizards team that is one of the few teams in the league that the Bulls have managed to beat earlier this season. And not only managed to beat, but managed to beat twice. Not quite as dominant as, say, against the Pistons, who the Bulls swept this season, but the Bulls were down 21. They ended up losing 126-114, and thanks in large part to Zach LaVine's one-man heroics, the Bulls made this game close for a little bit. Made the Wizards sweat a little bit in the fourth quarter because Zach scored 19 of his 41 points in the final quarter, including going, I believe, 5 of 5 from the three-point line. He finished 8 of 11 from downtown on the night, 15 of 21 overall from the field. Chipped in 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, did have 5 turnovers. But another otherworldly performance from Zach LaVine. This guy's doing everything he can. I know that Bulls fans have their varying opinions on Zach and how good he is and how good he might be and whether or not he's worth keeping in this rebuild. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. Right now he's the best player on a bad team, but this guy is so talented and still has 2 very team-friendly years on his contract. The kind of production he gives you on the contract that he's earning, you do not trade a piece like that away unless you get a king's ransom for it. It was his 5th 40-point game of the season last night. 5th 40-point game. I talked a little bit yesterday about Zach not being on the list of names for that preliminary 44-man roster for Team USA Basketball as they prepare for Tokyo Olympics. And of the 44 names on that roster, the only other players to have 40-point games this season. Damian Lillard, James Harden, and Bradley Beal, who LaVine outdueled last night. It's continuing disrespect for Zach LaVine and the incredible scorer that he is. And it's largely due to the fact that nobody respects this organization right now. It's the same reason that he didn't make the All-Star team. Don't talk to me about empty stats, hollow stats. Zach LaVine is, more nights than not, incredibly efficient. And more nights than not, single-handedly keeping his team in games. And the Bulls continue to come out on the losing side of games more often than not, because even when they were healthy, they were not a well-coached team, a not well-orchestrated team, playing systems that did not bring out the best of the skills and talents of their players on the roster and their personnel, but did the exact opposite. And now bodies started dropping left and right. Zach's still out there, giving it his all every night. And you would expect nothing less from him, even after the All-Star break, when these games become more and more meaningless, until the Bulls, if and when, decide, hey, Zach, we believe in you. We believe in you as a part of the future of this team, regardless of what other organizational changes may occur this offseason, knock on wood. So maybe let's take that sore ankle or that sore shoulder or that sore neck and shut you down. Until Zach LaVine is told to do so, instructed to do so, he's going to be out there balling like he did last night. And I have tremendous respect for him for doing so. Before I get to my other big takeaway from the loss to Washington, a quick word from our sponsors at visitarizona.com. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. And boy, lots of excitement on both north and south side of Chicago today, as today is the day pitchers and catchers report for most teams across Major League Baseball. Arizona's one-of-a-kind spring training experience could be your great idea for a fun vacation. Follow your favorite team to Arizona Cactus League spring training, 10 different stadiums for 15 Major League Baseball teams, 75-degree temperatures. All 10 of those stadiums are in the greater Phoenix area within just 50 miles of each other. You can meet your favorite players and get their autographs before the games. And that's not all. There's so much to see and do nearby. Check out amazing restaurants and bars, including tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Enjoy live music from local and national artists. Explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world. Bringing the kids along to spring training, Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages. Water parks, horseback rides, wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. All right, the other big takeaway from the loss to the Wizards, what else could it be? Another Jim Boylan foot-in-mouth moment in the post-game press conference. I swear to God, how many of these do we have to listen to before this man is fired or we all just jump off a cliff like a bunch of lemmings who are just ready to face the fate of anything other than listening to this? It's like a won't-shut-up Jim Boylan is chasing us, the group of lemmings, off the cliff. And we'd rather jump off the cliff than turn and face this talking lunatic. In particular, it was the issue of Daniel Gafford once again being active but getting a DNP for the second straight game as he's trying to nurse his way back from an ankle injury. And he was asked about it when Gafford did not play against the Sixers on Sunday. Boylan said Gafford's chance would come after being active but not playing. So plenty of us thought, well, Tuesday night, going to be active again, assuming things are progressing, and it would make sense that he would get his opportunity then. They were just being overly cautious on Sunday. But as the Wizards are continuously bruising and beating and torturing the Bulls in the paint, scoring at will in the paint to the tune of 62 points in the paint that night, there was no Daniel Gafford. Felicio is a traffic cone on defense. Luke Kornet offers some shot blocking at the rim when he's actually allowed to play drop coverage instead of being asked to guard people around the perimeter in Jim Boylan's ridiculous defensive system. But you were just watching the Wizards score at will and thinking, gee, might be nice to have Gafford's presence in there on defense. And yet, no Gafford. Dressed in warm-ups, supposedly jersey on underneath said warm-ups, on the bench, DNP. So, of course, Boylan was asked about this. And our NBC Sports Chicago insider, Casey Johnson, hit him with that question right off the bat after Boylan's opening statement in his post-game press conference. And here is, just because it's so ridiculous, and in case you missed it, because you're tuning out of Bulls games this season or you didn't stick around to watch his post-game press conference and post-game live because you just can't, you can't actually force yourself to listen anymore, I don't blame you. But you got to hear this. Boylan's first response when asked about Gafford not playing: I thought he was available, which was good, but I didn't play him. I just wasn't going to play him with our two centers. So you thought it was good he was available, but you didn't play him. That's not answering the question of why he didn't play. So Casey Johnson hit him with a follow-up question and asked him, is it because he's not completely healthy or because he's behind Felicio in the rotation? To that follow-up question, Boylan's answer was the following, quote, combination of a couple things. He's working his way back. He's available, but he's working his way back. What? You're contradicting yourself in the span of one sentence. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. A third question, second follow-up from Casey, asking, if Gafford will leapfrog Felicio in the rotation when he's 100% healthy, regardless of whether or not he has a quote-unquote active label, essentially, if he's healthy, will he take a spot ahead of Felicio in the rotation? To that, Boylan's answer was, quote, I don't know. We'll figure that out when he gets back to 100%. What the hell? What the hell is going on? Because even if they are realizing their situation as an undermanned team with a lot of injuries and you got to dress certain guys just so you have enough bodies, and you're still trying to ease Gafford back and he's not 100% healthy yet, but you still want to make him active so that you have enough active guys, then say so. Then say that. But the most egregious part of this little exchange between Casey and Jim is that when asked simply to clarify, okay, well, when you deem him to be ready enough health-wise to play, can you confirm that he is, in fact, ahead of Felicio in the rotation? And Boylan's answer to that is, I don't know. We'll figure that out when he gets back. Now, I understand maybe the notion that you don't want to, as a head coach, dishearten Felicio, who's out there playing, and for all jokes and the reality that Felicio is perhaps one of the least deserving people making millions in the NBA right now based on skill, that he's still a person with feelings. And Jim Boylan doesn't want to hurt those feelings by saying, well, yeah, of course Gafford's ahead of the rotation, you know, above Felicio when he comes back. But also, that's just reality. That's just the truth of the matter. And a lot of coaches in the NBA, dare I say most, would be comfortable enough to state the obvious. That's like saying, oh, will Zach LaVine get his spot in the rotation ahead of, you know, like last season, like Antonio Blakeney when he's healthy? Well, duh. And clearly Gafford has not proved himself to be as important or as talented to this team as Zach LaVine. That's just an exaggerated example, but it's an exaggerated example of there's one obvious answer to a simple question. And Boylan can't even do that. Which leads me to the bigger issue here. We have heard from a few different sources that the Bulls instructed Jim Boylan a while ago. His bosses instructed him a while ago to no longer talk in detail about the injuries of his players and the health status of his players. That's a thing we heard. And the answers, if you can even call them that, that Jim Boylan was tiptoeing around when asked about Gafford, why he's active and not playing, will he get back into the rotation, very much sounded like a guy who knows that he isn't supposed to be talking about the thing that he's being asked about. And just for the organization as a whole, how embarrassing is that? How embarrassing must it be for Jerry, Michael, John, Gar, the whole lot to have a coach who is so bad at the talking to the media part of his job, in addition to the coaching basketball part of his job, that they have to give him instructions on what he can and cannot address in his post-game press conferences or any of his media availability? Jim, we don't want you talking about players' injuries. Well, why not? Because you suck at it. Because you don't know what you're talking about. You're going to confuse the media. You're going to confuse the fans. And we don't trust you to not put your foot in your mouth. And this is coming from Jim's bosses who are under heavy scrutiny and have been for years now about the lack of healthy available players on their roster year in and year out and continue to use injuries as an excuse. Just last Thursday, meeting the media just a couple hours after the NBA trade deadline passed and the Bulls stood pat, Paxson using injuries as an excuse for this horribly gone wrong, gone awry season when, for the most part, they had a healthy roster that was embarrassing themselves and embarrassing this city and embarrassing the organization on a nightly basis, losing to quality basketball teams. Finding new ways to lose and more embarrassing ways to lose every night. And you have the tenacity to once again shy away from actual accountability and put so much of an emphasis on, well, yeah, the injuries really hurt us. Well, you know, we're really looking forward to getting some of our key guys like Wendell and Lowry back, you know, hopefully by the end of the month or early March, and then we'll have, you know, 20 solid games to really figure out what we have. This team, every NBA team goes through injuries. And at least John Paxson admitted as much when he spoke on Thursday. But the frequency at which John, in particular, has used these injuries as an excuse for things that are not the fault of players getting hurt, but his fault for failing to run a well-run organization is insulting to a very dedicated, very loyal, very passionate fan base. It's also insulting to the media who spend their hard hours and their dedicated careers to covering this team. It's insulting. Gaslighting. There's no better word for it. Gaslighting. And when injuries have been such an issue, not just in this, you know, rebuild that's not quite 3 years in, but even before that, And they get asked every once in a while, hey, with all these injuries that your team seems to deal with, have you ever thought about changing up your medical staff, your strength and conditioning staff, training up or changing up the way you do things when it comes to the best ways to keep your players healthy? We always get answers that are some variety of no. We believe in and trust our medical staff just like we believe in and trust our ability to run our organization. We're going to get this right. Players got to stay healthy. There's nothing we can do about it if they don't. So you have that notion of this team that blames their failures on players getting injured and also are instructing their head coach, who they hired with no coaching search and gave an extension with no coaching search, don't talk about injuries. Don't talk about injured players. It's like, it's theater of the absurd. It truly, truly is. And on any given day, in any given moment, when you think about what has been said by John Paxson last Thursday and what has been said by Paxson and this, you know, the people leading this organization in the last decade or so, and you think about just what was said by Jim Boylan in his postgame press conference Tuesday night, you don't know whether to laugh at the absurdity of it or to just break down. Drive yourself mad with frustration. Will Ferrell in Zoolander. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. We're not crazy. They're either crazy or they're incompetent and they try to cover up their incompetence with lies, deception, and deceit. And doing so treats media and fans alike like we're stupid and like we don't deserve the truth. Meanwhile, Jerry's off getting excited for pitchers and catchers reporting for the beginning of White Sox baseball and just got to see his Chicago Bulls ranked number 4 among 30 NBA teams on the Forbes annual list of teams and their net worth, a 10% increase from their listing on Forbes last year of $2.9 billion to $3.2 billion. And that is with attendance dropping. That is with likely a lot less merch being sold. Every NBA team's value went up last year to this year. The league as a whole is growing. And yes, it's disgusting as a Bulls fan to think about the fact that Jerry Reinsdorf, while letting all of this negligence run wild in this organization that he owns, that he lets his son incompetently manage, says, oh, cool. My basketball team went from $2.9 billion to $3.2 billion. Hooray for me. But the truth is that 10% growth is one of the smallest growth percentages across all 30 teams in the league from last year to this year. Go look at that Forbes article, and there are a variety of graphs showing different elements to that net worth for all the 30 teams. Only a handful of bad, failing, losing, small market teams had a smaller percentage growth than the 10% growth of the Bulls. A major market team. But that's all happening while Paxson is using the same tired excuses when he occasionally has the balls to step in front of the media and address his failures and blame them on someone else. And that's happening while Bulls fans, if they haven't given up already, have to listen to Jim Boylan speak this nonsense, this backward speak, this double speak, this game of cat and mouse with the media. This is what we have as fans. While Jerry gets to see that, oh, cool, I'm worth $300 million more than I was last year with this basketball team. Delightful. Abso-fucking-lutely delightful. And here, to me, is the key. I started that rant talking about a second-round rookie backup center not getting minutes in a game where he was theoretically active, and they probably could have used him based on the way that the Wizards were beating the Bulls on the floor. And that simple notion ran me all the way to what the hell did this incompetent head coach say after the game about why he didn't play? Is he actually not aware of the fact that Gafford is more important and should be getting more minutes than Felicio, who is a $32 million punchline who the team can't even trade, can't at all trade? Bulls fans who think he's tradable, stop. But clearly, when it comes to development, if you're giving up on the playoffs, which you should, Gafford development more important than Felicio development. Gafford better player than Felicio. Across the board, the answer is simple: Gafford over Felicio. We can't even get that straight of an answer from this coach, who's had, you know, gross problems with his rotation and managing rotations all season long. Meanwhile, the head of the front office speaks to us last week about why they didn't do anything at the deadline and the injuries, blaming him on injuries. Oh, by the way, remember when we learned that the front office told the coach that he's not allowed to talk about injuries, all the way to, but hey, look, the Bulls are still making money. Look what Jerry, oh no, Jerry's off watching spring training baseball. That series of thoughts leads you all the way up the ladder. And it doesn't matter where you start. It always goes all the way up the ladder. Back end of rotation rookie should get minutes. Inexplicably doesn't play in game when he's theoretically available. All the way to Jerry Reinsdorf's basketball team is still fourth most in the 30-team league in total value, and that value went up again this year despite the last year that we saw and the this year that we saw. All the steps in between. It starts at the top. Incompetence and negligence seeping its way down through the entire organization. And young, high-character players who want nothing more than to become better at the sport that they love and win in the league that is the top league for their sport on the planet, like Daniel Gafford, have to deal with this shit. And so do the media, and so do the fans. Theater of the absurd. And it always starts at the top. Which is why Bulls fans are holding their breath. Maybe, maybe not. Some have already checked out and said, you know, wake me up when John's gone and Gar's gone and Jim's gone. And to those of you who aren't watching the games anymore, but still bless your heart, listen to this podcast or turn on Bulls Outsiders after the game is over, I appreciate you for even doing that. And I understand the fact that you don't want to watch these games and you don't want to listen to Jim Boylan's post-game press conference because most of it is unwatchable and stupid and terrible. And it's All-Star Weekend in Chicago. And this is what we have to talk about. But if there is a silver lining there, there's going to be some attention. National media eyes will be on this organization as it is representing the host city. And it's already been going on the most recent episode of The Hoop Collective with Brian Windhorst, national, very popular NBA podcast. In the first opening minutes of the show, they're talking about that Bulls Sixers game from Sunday because Jackie McMullen, one of the guests, was there, and they were talking about Jim Boylan getting booed. Bulls head coach getting booed in another arena. Bulls embarrassing on a national stage. NBA writers, national NBA writers tuning in to the occasional Bulls game saying, wow, what's going on here? Recently, like an example that Cody Westerlund, who covers the Bulls for 670, pointed out was Kevin Pelton, an NBA writer, national scale, with 100,000-plus followers on Twitter saying, oh, well, you know, Bulls are crapping in the third quarter again. Can't wait for Jim Boylan to call a meaningless timeout in the final minute. which he, of course, did again last night when the Bulls were down double digits with 42 seconds left. This is the attention the Bulls get, if they get any at all. Hey, let's all point and laugh. It's Nelson from The Simpsons. The national NBA media is Nelson from The Simpsons pointing in the general direction of John Paxson, Jim Boylan, and the whole rotten lot and going, ha ha. If they bother to look the Bulls' way at all. This is what we have. This is the state of things as the Bulls reach the All-Star break in year three of the rebuild and All-Star weekend descends upon our great sports city that deserves so much more from this once proud organization. And you know what? I think I'm going to leave it right there. I said I was going to try to get to some mailbag at the back end of today's episode, but we're already coming up on a half hour and I got to get out of here. So I will get to some mailbag either tomorrow or Friday. And in the meantime, throw me your thoughts on maybe Boylan's thoughts on Gafford and why he didn't play, or anything All-Star Weekend related, or any other thoughts you might have about the Bulls and the NBA. 331-979-1369 is that number. You can also hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Shoot us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And of course, you can always follow us on Twitter. I'm at Bulls_Peck. Jordan's at Jordan C. Malley. And we are at Locked On Bulls. Until tomorrow, Bulls fans, hang in there. See red. Be good. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com